And joining us right now is the former head coach of the Washington Redskins, offensive coordinator of a couple of teams, and our guy, Jay Gruden, on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly, and Fairfax F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly, Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverages, lifetime vehicle coverage, I should say. See and shop them all at Ted Britt. com. And without further ado, Jay joins us now on the BetQL guest hotline. Hello, Jay. How are you?
Chris, I'm doing great.
Great to have you on as always. Obviously the big story from yesterday's game is Jaden gets hurt. Apparently on that first play of the game, the 46-yard run, that's when it happened. He stays in for another seven or eight plays. They run a couple of quarterback read keepers, what have you. I guess just in general, what did you make of Jaden trying to fight through it if indeed he did get hurt on that first play of the game, which is what it looked like? And then, you know, tell me from your perspective, like how hard is it to see whether a guy is banged up if he's not showing obvious signs from the sideline with all the chaos going on in the game?
Yeah, it's hard because you're just calling plays and you're assuming if he stays in the game, he's okay. You know, He did go down awkwardly. That was a weird slide. He was, you know, I thought he was going to outrun everybody for a touchdown, but then he kind of slowed up and slid and the guy kind of fell on him awkwardly. And that was a little nerve wracking, but hopefully he's not a bad deal. But I think as a play caller, you're assuming that he's okay until he comes out. And I think at the end of that series, he was visibly sore, so he came out and enter Marcus Mariota, who played excellent.
Yep, absolutely. We'll get there in a second. So that's what it is. Basically, you need to, as a play caller, as a head coach in this case, you need to see an obvious sign, right? And the problem is the player's almost never going to want to come out. You know, so it's kind of like this. Like, I remember before you got here, everybody killed Mike Shanahan for what happened with Robert. But, you know, when you're the head coach, you're not paying attention to every little thing. You've got a lot on your plate to deal with, right?
Yeah, we got to count on the doctors to do their job and trainers, and we can't make decisions on whether or not people can stay in the game or stay, come out of the game. We rely on the player and the trainers. You know, if the player says he's hurt and can't play, he doesn't play. If the trainer says he can't go, he can't go. If the trainer says nothing and the player says nothing, we're assuming they're good to go. So we just have to rely on them. And I think they did a good job. I think it was probably a rib issue. And sometimes you can battle through those things. But, you know, at the end of the day, if it becomes too uncomfortable to throw the ball, then you got to come out.
Yeah, no doubt. Jay Gruden with us, brought to you again by the Ted Britt Automotive Group on the Team 980. So before we get to the week ahead and Caleb and all that stuff, you mentioned Mariota. Obviously, he comes in. And, Jay, I thought it took him about a series and a half to get the oil running through the engine, which is not uncommon for any backup quarterback, but especially one that missed half of training camp, the entire preseason, the first four games. I know he played in mop-up duty and for an extended mop-up duty against Cleveland 2 weeks ago, but wasn't asked to do much in that game. It wasn't a surprise to me to see him rusty at the beginning, but then once he got going, and especially on that drive before halftime where Cliff just slammed on the gas pedal and they started, you know, dialing up all those crossers to Terry and others, that was pretty impressive stuff.
That was an impressive drive to end the half. You know, I thought they might just kind of play a little more conservatively, being the situation with their backup, and they had a pretty good lead already. But Cliff did say, you know what, hell, let's slam on the gas, see what Marcus can do, because we're going to need him. You know, we might need him to play more than one game, and he's got to get going, and he's got to play. We have to challenge him, and he's going to have to make these plays if Jaden can't go next week. So it was a great drive for him. It's great to see the team respond, not just Mariota, but the entire team. The offensive line protected them very well. The receivers got open. They caught the ball, obviously, and the running game still worked effectively. And then, of course, the defense played their ass off later.
It strikes me like if something would have happened to Mariota in that game, right, with the new rules, I don't know how familiar you are with the emergency third quarterback now, right? Like the way I understand it is if the third quarterback, the emergency third quarterback's got to come in, that would mean like the quarterback, in this case Mariota, wouldn't have been able to play again, I guess, if he got hurt. And I wonder moving forward if that might cause, like, you know, some roster shuffling or juggling or something, right? Because if say, Jaden Daniels is not available at all to play this Sunday against the Bears, I would assume you have to have, I don't know, a third quarterback, right? Sam Hartman's on the practice squad, so I guess that would be the guy. These rules are kind of weird, right? I've always preferred to have three quarterbacks, me, active or on the roster or whatever. I know a lot of teams don't do that. How do you kind of balance all of that out between injury, between not knowing, and specifically at that position where you just can't flex somebody and switch somebody usually? I know Luke McCaffrey was a college quarterback, but you get my – I don't know if this question makes any sense, but you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I do. It's a nightmare, actually. You know, I think when the roster sizes, you can only dress 46 or was when I was around – you couldn't have the luxury of dressing three quarterbacks because you needed special team guys. You needed backups on the defensive line, et cetera, offensive line. I always stressed out about only having seven offensive linemen available. Because I remember one time, my first year, we had to play Logan Paulson to tackle. That was a nightmare.
I remember that.
But the third quarterback, you know, like usually when I was at Cincinnati or Washington, we had somebody like, I had Trey Quinn, I had Mo Sanu, I had somebody with a wristband for about six plays, eight plays were the direct snap, and we'd, you know, hand the ball off or run a zone read or whatever it might be just to get us through a game just in case. But you're right, you know, I don't know what the issue is. I think the reason why they don't dress three quarterbacks anymore is back in the day, teams were abusing that rule. Their third quarterback was like a wildcat guy, and he was playing some, and he was running down on special, he was doing stuff other than what quarterbacks do, I guess. So they abuse the rule. So they said, now if your third quarterback comes in, the other two can't come in, which, you know, makes a little bit of sense, I guess. Unless he gets hurt, then you're screwed.
Yeah, exactly. And again, they do have Luke McCaffrey, who was, you know, 2 years ago, a quarterback at Rice. You mentioned some of the guys you had, and of course, we all remember Mohamed Sanu and what you did with him in 2012, was it? With that long pass, if I remember correctly, in week three against the Redskins defense before you became the Redskins head coach. Of course, Jay Gruden with us on the Team 980, brought to you again by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. All right, so let me ask you this. We're going to hear from Dan Quinn. I don't know what he's going to say. It appears that he's got no broken rib. I don't know if he's got any other damage. Who knows whether he'll be able to practice Wednesday, limited, this, that. Who knows if he'll be able to play. But as a head coach, as a game planner, how would you handle like the next day and a half to 2 days if you don't know whether he can play or not? Meaning, like, clearly you've got to get somebody ready, and that somebody is Marcus Mariota. But do you just build a game plan for Mariota? Do you build a game plan for Jaden? How do you kind of approach that?
Well, the good thing is Mariota and Jaden have a similar skill set, which is a smart move by the Commanders getting a quarterback like Marcus to back up Jaden, because if something does happen to Jaden, then you don't have to change a whole lot. Now, if you went to Sam Hartman, who's more of a drop-back quarterback, you might have to change some things. But obviously, I think the game plan will be the game plan, and if Jaden can play, great. If not, then Mariota's got the skill set, not quite the same skill set, obviously, but the same running ability with the zone reads and the pin-pull option plays out there, having so much success with that. I think they'll be fine. I think Cliff is going to come up with a game plan like he would if Jaden was playing, and if he can't play, then Marcus takes over.
How, because that's not always the case. Like somebody was mentioning, I forget who it was, in Indianapolis, you have, you know, Joe Flacco, who's kind of got the mobility of the Chrysler building, and then Anthony Richardson, different style quarterbacks. Here, a couple of years ago, you had Carson Wentz, and you had Taylor Heineke, you know, and you had different style of quarterbacks. Like, that is a really important notation, that you have something similar so that you don't have to do basically what, you know, what like what you're suggesting is Cliff can kind of keep everything similar, and it doesn't cause a big upheaval, right?
Yeah, exactly right. You know, with the Anthony Richardson Flacco scenario, you just, all the quarterback design runs and all the zone reads are out when Flacco comes in. That's easy. You just take those out. Now we're just going to hand the ball to Jonathan Taylor and in the same fashion most quarterbacks do it, and drop back passes that we've had in since training camp were all available for Flacco. They may not be available for Richardson because he's not quite as good at all those. So, you know, you just have to change around what you're calling and for who you're calling it for. Make sure you try your best to play to the strengths of the guy that's playing and not try to force feed a system down a guy's throat if he can't perform at the level you need him to perform at.
In this case, one more on this, you know, the medical doctors might ultimately clear him to return to practice, maybe limited, you know, whatever. We know there's no contact, right? So they're not going to really be able to tell. But as a head coach, again, and as a quarterback guy, if you're at practice, like, you can tell whether he looks natural, whether his mechanics are affected, right? Like, what do you think you would be looking for if he's returned to practice in some capacity besides just obvious signs of pain? What mechanical type things would you be looking at or maybe focusing in on?
Well, flexibility for sure. His follow through is his takeaway. You know, can he get through the ball? You know, because when you turn your body, you have to torque your hips to throw the ball down the field. And if he has pain doing that, then he won't be as effective. He can't play. I think that's a big thing. It's going to be a comfort level for Jaden. I've hurt my ribs many, many a times playing arena ball and college football and high school. And it is pretty painful at times, something you're going to have to go through mentally as well as physically. But if he has the flexibility, he can torque. If he can deal with the pain, then I think he'll be fine, because I don't think there's any long-term damage that could be done with a rib other than getting hit again and being sore. So hopefully if they're not broken, then I think it's going to be a pain tolerance and a flexibility thing.
Yeah, no doubt. Jay Gruden with us. All right, let's get the rest of the game. I mean, clearly Carolina is very challenged. We know that. You know Andy Dalton. Made some terrible decisions yesterday right from the jump. How much credit do you give to the Washington defense versus just a really bad day at the office for the Carolina offense?
I give a lot of credit to Washington's defense. They were disruptive. And they flew around to the football again. And, you know, like Sanistrel, that's how you pronounce his name, right?
Sanistrel. Yeah,
he, it was a route reading play. It was the dagger concept of push by number two and a dagger. He just jumped the dagger before, the receiver get in there. And Andy just anticipated a throw. And that's Andy's strength, is his anticipation and his accuracy. If guys aren't where they're supposed to be, he will throw interceptions if the receiver does not run the route. He stopped the route, and Sanistrel made a good pick. And there was other plays, and he had no chance because the protection failed, or Washington was all over the place, and the running game didn't help Andy out at all. So you got to credit Washington's defense for being as disruptive as they were, making big plays when they had to, getting off the field when they had to, and forcing them to become one-dimensional, which no team is very good at, especially Carolina.
Chicago's coming in here this week off of a bye, regardless of whether Jaden Daniels plays, whether it's Mariota, however that all works out. Did you like playing teams off of a bye? Because I could see the pros and the minuses. I mean, A, rest, health, whatever, but also some rust, right? I mean, no matter how much you practice, teams sometimes, not all the times, takes teams a couple of series, maybe a little bit more than that, to kind of get back in the flow of playing football again for the first time in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know what the stats are of teams coming off a bye, but I didn't like it. I can remember 1 year we played like four teams coming off a bye. I thought it was brutally unfair because you do get that extra rest. You do get guys back from their nicks and knacks, their soreness, maybe a slight pulled hamstring or a sore shoulder or whatever. Now they're 100% as opposed to playing 80% or maybe not playing at all. So, and you get well-rested guys. I mean, the coaches, too. Coaches get a couple days off, and they're more rested. Now they can prepare and extra prepare for your team and have a week. And you have one less week to prepare, film from that team as opposed to other teams that you're playing that don't have a bye. So I think it's not a fair deal. It's the most unfair thing to me. But statistically, it may not matter. But I would much rather play a team not coming off a bye than coming off a bye.
Yeah, and it seems like Caleb Williams is getting more and more comfortable in the pocket and less reliant on play extension and legs and running around horizontally and trying to, fling balls all over the place, which should happen, right? With a good, talented guy, he should get more comfortable in the pocket. And, Jay, you know this, that defense led by Montez Sweat, because you drafted Montez Sweat, that this is going to be a tough test whether Jaden plays or Mariota plays or whoever plays.
Yeah, for sure. Their defense is playing good. They got a couple guys that are banged up, but they have an elite corner. They have a team that can stop the run, and they have a defense that is very sound and it can run and tackle, pure tackle and sound tackling. And the reason why I like Montez Sweat coming out, he ran like 4.4. It's just four quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels, guys that can run. I need somebody that can track these suckers down, and Montez could do that. He could fly, and he's long. So, yeah, it'll be a great challenge for them. But, I think Washington will be up for it. They just got to continue to do a good job on defense and playing well. And they did a good job against the run against Chuba, who had a pretty good couple games before this game. They stopped him. Now they're going to have to stop DeAndre Swift a little bit. But, it's all going to come down to getting pressure on Caleb Williams and making him do some uncharacteristic things like throw the ball to the other team. If they can get some turnovers, I think they will have a great chance to win.
Quarterback injuries, of course, are a big storyline every Sunday and none bigger here in Washington. But, you know, listen, Deshaun Watson, we all know some of the things that have happened there. I hate that the fans are booing the guy. I mean, I get that they're frustrated. Then his teammates are coming out saying how great of a guy he is. That's a tough, spicy potato to deal with there. Jay, knowing what, you know, allegedly sort of happened, and then you're trying to defend him as a teammate and an organization, and the fans are upset and they're booing him, and then there's cap implications. What a mess in Cleveland.
Absolute nightmare. You know, it's one thing to have a quarterback, you know, do some things that are a little bit questionable off the field, which everybody does in the world. Nobody's perfect, which we get that. But then to come in and have a huge contract and play poorly, I mean, really poorly, like awful. And then he gets hurt, and then how do you handle that? So it's a tough situation for Cleveland. They have a much better team than the way they're producing. Their defense should be very, very good. Hell, their defensive coordinator was coordinator of the year last year, and their coach was coach of the year last year. So they have some players. It's just unfortunate that Deshaun and the offense has been so awful. I mean, awful. And it didn't help that they lost a couple linemen early in the year, which, you know, everybody's got injuries. But sure. Now that he's out, now they got to turn to either Jameis or DTR. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, it was weird that DTR was the number two quarterback and Jameis was the emergency third yesterday. I kind of found that weird slash interesting, but I don't know if something's going on. The game of the day, and again, I was busy running around Northwest Stadium doing pregame stuff, and then, of course, our game. But the Lions and the Vikings, 31-29, the Lions, you know, they kicked Dallas's ass on the road last week, and then you think, maybe, you know, like kind of let them pedal off the metal, and they roll up another 30-plus points. Jared Goff's awesome again. And the guy I wanted to ask you about is Jahmyr Gibbs, right? Like, Ben Johnson gets all the credit. How about Brad Holmes, the general manager who worked with your guy, Sean McVay, in Los Angeles before getting to Detroit? I mean, it just almost everything he's done, Jay, as a GM has turned to gold. Jahmyr Gibbs is awesome.
It's been amazing, not to mention Branch. This Brian Branch guy is a monster back there at safety. Yeah. He had another interception. Yeah. He had some big tackles in the game. Jack Campbell had like 7 solo tackles. He's awesome. He was drafted. That was a hell of a draft. Sam LaPorta was a hell of a draft pick. Yeah. So, yeah, they pick up David Montgomery. Their offensive line has been impressive. You know, the guys they drafted, Frank Ragnow, Glasgow, and Taylor Decker, and Sewell's a first-round pick. So it is an unbelievable team with absolutely no weakness, and they can hurt you different ways, different weeks. They can hurt you with the power running game with Montgomery. They can get you outside with Gibbs. They can throw the ball down the field. They can throw the ball intermediately. They can throw screens. There's no stopping the Detroit Lions right now because they have zero weaknesses in their game.
Jay, I don't know if you put this out already on your Twitter for Underdog Fantasy. I haven't had a chance to check. Who do you like tonight in the early Monday night game? Ravens, Bucks down in Tampa.
I like the Ravens. You know, I heard a stat that Lamar's like 21-1 against the NFC, which is unheard of. So I'm going to stick with Baltimore prime time. Baltimore always plays good, and I'm counting on my man Baker to throw the ball to the other team a couple times. So Baltimore's my pick.
My man Baker. I want my man Baker.
He plays ass off, but he will throw the ball over time to time.
I want my man Baker to throw a couple of interceptions. I hear you. It should be an entertaining game, and then you have the Chargers and the Cardinals, which should not be an entertaining game. That might be a game that only mothers can love. Jay, thank you as always. Appreciate it. Good to catch up with you. We'll do it again, next Monday. Appreciate you as always. Have a great rest of the week.
You got it. Thanks, Chris.
All right, that is Jay Gruden on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.